A warm welcome to folk visiting with us this evening, and as we do resume our worship of God in this place today, we resume taking up the praise of God in Psalm 146 on page 191. Psalm 146, page 191. We'll sing the whole of the psalm. Praise the Lord, my soul. Oh, praise him. I'll extol him all my days. While I live, to God my Savior, from my heart I will sing praise. And then he speaks of the reasons why. Do not put your trust in princes, mortal men who cannot save. All their plans will come to nothing when they perish in the grave. Blessed is the one who truly looks for help to Jacob's God. Blessed is the one who places all his hope upon the Lord. And then it speaks of the Lord himself, who he is, what he has done, and what he continues to do. Let us praise the Lord and call upon our hearts and our souls to praise him. Psalm 146, we sing together, standing to sing and remain standing after that for prayer together.
Praise the Lord, my soul, O praise him. I'll extol him all my days. While I live, to God my Savior, from my heart I will sing praise. Do not put your trust in princes, mortal men who cannot save.
Thanks for such words as these, that you, our God, have inspired men that they should record your word in such a way, that we have such assurances that are granted to us in these places, assurances that we may come before our God, and that you do welcome all those who come to you by faith, all those who come to trust in you, in your help, in your deliverance, in your keeping. We rejoice, O Lord, for such descriptions of our God as these, that so clearly recall your great compassion towards men. Each one of us, creatures of need. But where you speak of those who are oppressed, those who are hungry, those who are imprisoned or blind, and you provide. And all the more then in our spiritual state, how we need your deliverance, your relief, your provision. While it is right that your majesty is to be honored and praised, the one who is over heaven and earth, we are grateful, O Lord, for your covenant kindness, that you are the one who bows down low to lift up the needy, to deliver and to provide. It is in confession of our need as sinners that we come again, that you, O Lord, would be merciful and deliver us. And as a precious, precious redemption price has been paid, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we plead, O Lord, that you would set that price against each of us by name. And because of that, stirred by it, compelled by it, that we would continue to draw before you, trusting in you in all things, coming under the assurance of your word, that you would continue to build us and cause us to be a people who bear a good testimony. But according to your word also, O Lord, we do plead again, not only that you would deliver us from our sins, but may your hand be stretched out also to restore the weary, to heal the sick, to restore the wandering and the restless, to restrain the unruly, and to bless your church. That your church, even here, will truly be a people of God, trusting in our God only in all things, and coming under, therefore, the fellowship of the Spirit of God, directed by Him, enabled by Him, and that we also may be caused to give in all things, even as Christ has given Himself. That we would care for one another, that we would care for those yet outside the church, who should be brought in, that we would give our own lives, casting our cares upon you alone. O Lord, we do pray that as you would deal with us this evening, and as we would seek to bow ourselves in worship before you, that it would not only be in our lifting up of our praises, but in our humbling ourselves before your word. Graciously show us your ways, O Lord. And by that very word itself, with your Spirit, that you would work in us willing hearts, which do delight to do your will. And do accept us then, we pray. These are requests. Accept us in your presence, we ask, for the sake of worship, that indeed it would be Christ himself who would be honored amongst us, as his great desire was to glorify our Father in heaven. We ask that you would hear us now and answer us far beyond what we are able to ask, but indeed according to our need, according to your grace, all in Jesus, asking all for his sake. Amen. read together in God's Word. And first of all, in the Old Testament, in Psalm 146. Then in the New Testament, in Hebrews, starting in chapter 4, at verse 14. So first of all, Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man, in whom there is no help. His spirit departs. He returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Also in Hebrews, starting at chapter 4 and verse 14, short reading here. Chapter 4, verse 14 through to chapter 5 and verse 4. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. And we'll just read so far in this portion of God's Word. May he grant blessing upon it, that we might hear, understand, and turn to his praise. Our praise then is in Psalm 102, on page 368, Psalm 102, page 368, it's the second of the traditional versions, and we start at verse 23 to the end of the psalm. Psalm 102 at verse 23 on page 368, my strength he weakened in the way. My days of life he shortened. My God, O take me not away in mid-time of my days, I said. Thy years throughout all ages last. Of old thou hast established the earth's foundation firm and fast. Thy mighty hands the heavens have made. And so on to the end of the psalm, Psalm 102 and verse 23. We'll stand again to sing.
my strength be weak and in the way. My days of life be shortened. My God, O save me not away. In this I know of my days myself. Thy years throughout, O ancient love, of all thou hast established, be as some earth and vast, thy mighty hands that heaven made. They perish as garments do, but thou shalt evermore endure. As vestures thou shalt change, and they shall all be changed, sure. But from all changes thou art free, thy endless years do not forbid, thy servants and thy seed to be.
Please be seated. Let us again join together in prayer. Lord, we are of the following generations, each one that has passed on, and you have continued sure and steadfast. Those things that are to be established can only be established upon you and by your will. It is good then, O Lord, that we might come to you again and continue in the praise of your name and in the praise also of setting petitions before you, offering thanksgiving, bringing our cares and resting them before our God. That only you are able. Though we pass, and indeed though the earth itself will pass, yet you endure forever. And the amazing thing, O Lord, that we would rejoice in again this evening is that such a God should be pleased to speak with men and to take men to yourself and to have a purpose that will bear out with a people to your praise. And even now, that your people may serve you and in a remarkable way, that we may even be described in your word as fellow workers with our God, especially in that work of setting forth your word, this great truth concerning our God, and where we, man, stand before you. Oh Lord, there are so many aspects that warrant our prayers, and we pray first that you would forgive us that our prayers can can be so infrequent and lacking in substance. Help us to grow in this and do teach us prayer, that spirit of prayer that is constant before you. But just now and in the passing of time, in various places we have things brought to our attention, and we would, in our own limitations, we would bring these to you as well. We give thanks that within the wider church that we are particularly a part of, that we find a range of various ministries by which your word is set out. In some places, and the progress that is being made as your church is reaching out into society around in a variety of ways, and those ways that do draw attention and cause folk to rely upon those who are caring for them, ministering Christ to them. We give thanks where your word goes out in other languages, and not just in other lands, but also in this country, where there are those who can serve you in other languages, where people have come and or perhaps even a lingering language of the past, where these things are precious to many. And we pray, O Lord, that you would prosper this work, that men will hear one way or the other. They will hear perhaps in a language to which they're more sympathetic and have a better understanding. We ask, Lord, that they will hear your truth effectively. We give thanks to O Lord for the ministry of praise, and we ask that you would prosper it as efforts are made to gather together for the sheer exercise of praise and lifting up of your name in honor and glory. And we ask that this might be prospered to draw men to consider the God upon whom they are called to praise. We pray for the work with children and with the youth camps that are coming up through the summer, both the Free Church camps, those run by other organizations, different church bodies. We pray for the work that goes on in Eastern Europe as well. Oh Lord, do prepare the way for all of these and prepare the hearts of all who gather, that there would be a receptiveness to the things that you would have them hear. For the children, through the weekly activities that are provided in many places, many churches, that there too that they would hear the gospel of Christ. We pray for holiday clubs that are organized, as these do prove valuable to families where they need extra help through this time, and that there too there would be an awakening concerning the truth. Because we know, O Lord, that we live in a place where many times in the schools there are other things being taught and other voices compelling, the voices that seem to be out there to draw the young people aside especially. We pray that they would be strengthened in every possible way, that our own young folk here will be strengthened for standing and holding fast to the confession of Christ in their situations, in their schools. And we give thanks where some efforts have been made. We pray that you would not make the children, not allow them to be proud, but to be thankful and grateful that you have enabled them for this, and that they would seek further prospering of their testimony where they are. And so may it also be where many of us are in isolated situations, many of our congregation and those that are dear to us, isolated, and many around, the majority around, seem to be have little regard for God. And we pray, O Lord, that there would be a Christ-like testimony born in the midst of all of this, and that there too there might be a turning of hearts and of minds as well, to think upon the claims of their God upon their lives. They would be ready to respond and and to give up the pride that they have held on to so dearly, to humble themselves and to know the blessings of your grace upon them. We would also give you thanks, Lord. There are times when we are fearful and we look around and we are disturbed by the difficulties that are faced and the problems that are around in the world and the things that have been before us much in the past few weeks in China, in Burma, the recent violence in South Africa. And these are disturbing situations, O Lord. We pray there that your people will be able to go out in works of ministry, but also proclaiming the gospel. We do give thanks, O Lord, that there are many ways that ministries of mercy have been able to effectively serve needy people and lead them to think upon the one who has sent your servants to work amongst them in this way. Whether it be the mercy ships that go out and are in difficult circumstances and spending a great length of time serving even just in practical ways, for MAF who go out and make it possible for just such ministries as well, but also for the proclamation of the gospel. We ask, Lord, that you would prosper all who work in this way as well. And may thanksgiving be that transforms each of our lives. We so readily go the other way, but may we hear your word, which calls us to give thanks in all things, that we will be transformed ourselves, that we would turn our own and others' thoughts to you with great joy, with thanksgiving, with praise. May your word then be effective in our hearts tonight and indeed on every occasion that we come to it in gatherings such as this, in our personal and in our family lives as well. We do ask, O Lord, that through it all we would be stirred all the more to lifting up your name, that we will be thankful, that will characterize the ways that we go, even in the face of temptation, of tests, that we will be thankful for the work that this does, looking to that great day when we will be able all the more fully to devote ourselves unto your praise. Hear us, O Lord, we ask, forgiving us even in these things for our sins, for our shortcomings. Do accept and grant your own answers that will be to your glory, asking that you would hear us through your Son, the Lord Jesus, and all for his own name's sake. Amen. We should turn this evening to Psalm 146. Psalm 146. And especially turning to the words of verse 5. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Just to ask yourself why such a psalm would be written, I think is sufficient reminder that we place so much store in men and depending upon men. Sometimes, mostly perhaps, it is finally yourself. Even at times when there is a dependence on someone else, one of the reasons for that is because you depend on another person that you can see or touch and so on, it gives you that, as it were, freedom to step back and to take control again yourself. That's what's there deep within the heart of man without God. There are ways in which being dependent on others does have its place, that the individuality of much of society today is not appropriate either. And this comes in every aspect of human life, that some measure of being dependent, interdependent on one another is important. But that's not the emphasis we would deal with this evening in the light of what the psalm is saying. It is the way that we've been made. God himself said it is not good that man should be alone, and God made a helper for man back in Genesis chapter 2. But in everything that we do, it's touched with our sinfulness, and that kind of interdependence has also been touched with sinfulness, and it usually spills over into far more than it should be in terms of depending on others, trusting on man. I said others, it can be ourselves as well. Even in the way that God has made man, with this society, with this interdependence, there is still a limit because of who we are, what we are, in recognition of the way that we are made. The point is that man is not the highest being. We are creatures, all of us. And it is to remind us that man, no man, not even a prince, or a governor, or a president, or whatever, no man is therefore the last basis of our lives, the final basis. It is God to whom we must turn. Now this psalm, as you can see, beginning to end, is a psalm of praise to God. But it is a psalm of praise to God in the light of this particular issue of human experience. On whom do we place our trust? In verses 1 and 10 in particular, but also reinforced in verse 2, there is this call to praise the Lord, and the, as I say, reinforced in verse 2, the insistence that this particular writer will give his life to the praise of God himself. But I think that the psalmist writes these very words, calling on all who would hear, even his own soul, that they should praise the Lord. It's set in contrast to the normal way of man, which is to stop at man. And I say that, he says in verse 2, I will sing praises to my God. In verse 3, do not put your trust in princes nor in a son of man. And he's setting out that great contrast. Men of substance, perhaps, but still just men. And then following that, verses 3 and 4, the bulk of the psalm is then given over to the things that the Lord is and does. And it's such a clear demonstration of the ways that God so far exceeds what any man can do in his short life. And the wonderful expression of the shortness of man's life, his spirit departs. It's in the very nature of man that his spirit will depart, and he will return to his earth in that very day his plans perish. But God so far exceeds that, and it is this is set out and introduced by our text for this evening in verse 5. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. And then he develops that further. And I would focus on three key words in this verse, which are, let's say, descriptions of God from the point of view of man, and also the benefits to man. And the three key words are help, hope, and happy. And I want to point out the personal helper that is indicated here, the eternal hope that is indicated, and the sure happiness. A personal helper, an eternal hope, and sure happiness. A personal helper. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help. I would like to stop and be silent and ask you to think about that. What is it saying? I think it's saying something utterly incredible. If it was not that it's God's word that says it. This is true. It is God's word. A man discovers this under the leading of the Spirit of God. He records it. It is God's own word. And he looks at man, himself, others. And he says, we are men. We need help. We need help from someone. Who is it that can help us? Well, some will turn to the princes. They'll turn to a son of man. And they'll look for help there. And he says in verse 3, but that son of man, in him there is no help. Who can help? Who will be the one with man in everything? At every time that we need help, that you need help. And he is saying in verse 5, that God, the God of Jacob, God is the help of man. Perhaps it matches well that in our own experience there are times when, let's say a little person, a child, says, Dad, can you help me? Well, it is his task, her task. Dad comes in and helps. It's their task. Well, we have our lives to live. That is our task, and we need help for it. And God's own word says the God of Jacob can be, will be the help to man. Let me just go to a couple of other psalms that they don't use the same word, but it's something of the striking quality that I think appears in this verse. In Psalm 16, verse 5, the psalmist writes, O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. In Psalm 73, 26, my flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. God is my portion forever. And a portion is what is allocated to you. In verse Psalm 119, 57, you are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. In Psalm 142 and verse 5, I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. What should catch our attention, I think, is that right here in front of us, God says, I belong to you. I will be your helper, your help. I will be there for you. And it's reinforced when it uses the name of God. At the first part of verse 5, how is God described? How is he titled here? He is the God of Jacob. He is identified before us in relation to a man. James 2:23, he tells us that Abraham was called the friend of God. It is one of the most remarkable things, I think. And God used it when he spoke to, when he gave that unique covenant name to Moses. I am. And it's usually, in our version, used in the name Lord. But one of the most remarkable things that God keeps saying is, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I belong to these men, men of faith. I will be your help. I will be the God of Jacob. I will be identified as such. I belong to men. The first thing then is to take hold of is that God is willing to enter this personal relationship with a person. Each one who will come to him as Jacob did with all his failings, but he came believing and trusting in this God. And it is God himself who will be the help. The psalm elaborates on who this God is. It's a comma at the end of verse 5. This God who made heaven and earth, the sea, everything, he keeps truth forever, he does all of these things, justice for the oppressed and so on. This God will be the help of the one who trusts in him. Not trusting in man, the difference is, this is, he trusts in God. The maker of all that we survey, the one who keeps, who maintains, who keeps truth enduring forever. And the psalmist goes on to portray this one. He does it in the present tense. He executes justice for the oppressed. He's speaking of God's faultless track record of helping the most needy. He can do it. He executes justice for the oppressed. You only need to read through some of the prophets and you find that men just seem incapable of doing that. He gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. And so on. The blind, the bowed down, the stranger, the fatherless and widow. As well as preventing the wicked, stopping him from being successful. This is the God who is willing to be your help. He is the God who is willing to be called by the name of Jacob. The personal relationship that God will enter into with the one who trusts in him. The other part of this, I suggest, is that here is the kind of help that has never been known anywhere else. It obviously follows from the person who is the helper. But just to think on this help for a moment. We read in Hebrews 4:16, it is help in time of need. Surely, for all time, you and I need help if we are to serve the Lord well. But there's this ready supply of this help at his throne. From the Lord. You need not expect it, you need not demand it. As long as you are not in the ways that you ought to be, that you are not seeking to place your trust in him, the things don't connect together. You will not go there if you are not trusting in God. But if you seek his way, if you seek his righteousness, if you seek his kingdom, he will always be ready to provide. Go there. He is ready to give this grace to help in time of need. And it applies to every aspect, every facet of your life. From the material, physical, emotional, spiritual, through work, play, church, wherever it is, whatever it is. It must start with the spiritual. That is the connecting point. That is the trust with God. And flow from that into all these other things. And are these not brought together effectively in those familiar words of the Lord Jesus? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That he will come, he will share the weight, he will join, he will help in what he has given us to do. He will make these things possible if we come to him in this trust. If I may be allowed a personal reflection by way of illustration at this point. Within this past 9 months especially, through to a year perhaps, there have been a good many, as you might expect, a good many people referring to me for help in spiritual things. And really, it probably is everyone in the congregation at one time or another. And for drawn-out periods for many people. And perhaps I'm more aware of that than anyone else because these things have come to me. But the reason I say this is because if I wasn't aware before, I should have been. I think I was. But it's all the more clear to me, if you like. Just out of this this more recent experience, it is, I'm acutely aware, and I tell you this, that man can never supply the need of one person, let alone even such a small congregation. I cannot feel the need for any one person in spiritual things. You know that, don't you? In your head. But are we basing our lives on that? Are you? I will give it all that I have. And I pray the Lord will supply some things through me. But I just say it this way, I put it this way, I use it, as I say, by way of illustration of just what the psalmist is about. I'm a man. And the psalmist wrote very well when he said, do not put your trust in a son of man. I just urge you, at this most fundamental point in your life, in your spiritual position, urge you again to make sure that you set your heart on this unfailing personal helper. He is personal. He will come. He will be your help if you will trust in him. But more than that, he will be your eternal hope. The very word trust, it's used in verse 3. But that word reminds us that a great deal of life is unseen by us. We need someone to rely on for all the things that might come about. Do you remember Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1? Faith, trust, is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You, each one of you, every man needs hope. Without it, is there any point in going on in daily life, much as Paul asked when he was talking about the risen Christ, and he says, if Christ is not risen, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. If there is nothing before us, it's a desperate state. There is a hope, and the man seeks a hope. Man does seek that hope. Over the years, so many hopes have been built up and fall apart. There are those who have based their hopes for the future in politics or in economics, culture, and you can go on. But everyone has been built on men or man's ideas, and that is no foundation. His spirit departs. He returns to his earth. In that day, his plans perish. Now you can say, well, there are those who have gone before us and they've maybe written great things and it swings people's lives, but they personally can do nothing about it. They have perished. Their plans, if they're taken up by others, it is theirs now. And then theirs perish. And so on. To build our hopes on the ideas or the activities of any man, there is no foundation there. And so he urges us again to make our hope in the Lord our God, whose hope is in the Lord his God, at the end of verse 5, second part of verse 5. Again, as if to say, if you want to know why that your hope should be there, and that is the way of happiness, if you want to know why, look at the evidence. Hope, faith is based on things not seen, but there is evidence. Look at what the Lord does. His great works, all the way from creation to providence, through whatever man has done to destabilize this universe, yet God keeps truth forever. This is the one that we're talking about. This is the one the psalmist is saying, turn to him again. And by now, so many years after this particular psalm was written, we can be all the more assured of the truth of this. and the certainty of God's word, the certainty of his promises, haven't they been unshakably established before us in the person and the work of his Son, Christ Jesus? In him, the promises of God are yes and amen. This is the truth that is kept forever. What God says is true forever. And you can base your hope upon that. Because of that, this hope cannot fall away. It is sure and it is certain because God's word endures and does not change. He keeps it, maintains it, upholds it. The hopes of men have so often failed because they've been based on something that will pass away. But this will not. The word of God will not pass. We can have a sure hope on its basis. It's a hope of a provision forever, because it is this hope in God, the covenant Lord. And do you see how he speaks of the God of Jacob? Then he speaks of the Lord his God. And this is to bring out the covenant name, to remind us of those covenant promises. And in the second part from verse 7, second part of verse 7 down to the end, he uses this word name repeatedly. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. God fulfilling, active, fulfilling his promises. We can look to this covenant Lord for all our future care because his word is sure. He's the same who is the maker of all. He's the one who looks with active compassion on all who are in need. The oppressed. He does it. He is active, fulfilling his word. And these things are the foundation of a very different hope. Not those things that are passing away. Several folk have said in the last few days, I hope you have a good trip to see your family tomorrow. It's not going to be long and that will be all gone. Where is the hope then? It's done. But there is still something beyond that we can and should be hoping for. A hope in the Lord. And of course, there's no guarantee that that trip will go well. But there's guarantees through and through as far as the Lord and his promises are concerned. It is an eternal hope, thus a sure hope that we may have in him. But what the psalmist is ultimately saying, he speaks about this help, he speaks about this hope, but ultimately he's saying, you're happy if you have them. Happy or blessed. It is a sure happiness based upon this sure help and this sure hope. With these two things, personal help, eternal hope, he says, man will be happy. You might remember Psalm 1 that sets the agenda for the book of Psalms. And the blessed man, he doesn't go in the ways of the wicked, but his delight is in the Lord, and the Lord prospers him. Blessedness, happiness. First, I think we need to note that it is concerned with the state, the actual condition of a man, where he has goodness in his life. It's brought into his life and quality, brought there by his coming near and relying, trusting in God for that help and for the hope. The things that he needs are his through the help of God. And God will go on and further bless him. Psalm 125, verse 4, do good, O Lord, to those who are good and to those who are upright in their hearts. And do you remember the story that Jesus told, the parable of the talents, where men received talents from his hand and they increased them, and when one of them failed to do anything, it was taken from him, and the master said, to him who has will be given more. But he only has it because it was given to him in the first place. And the Psalm 125 is that as well. Who are good? Who are the upright in their hearts? But the ones that God has dealt with graciously already. And yet he pours on, he piles on the goodness to those who trust in him, will further bless. So there is something that is of real quality. It's rather like, if you like, the old English use of it from time to time when someone was doing very well, and the expression would be, well, he is very happy, isn't he? He's got something good in his life. But it is also about the attitude of the man, that he is happy. He's settled. Not anxious, not angry. Not sad, not proud. There's a true wonder about happiness that perhaps all of us are yet to find. Perhaps we've not tasted it. I trust you have, and that you will know more and more of it. But it's about quietness. It's about that rest in one's soul that Jesus spoke of there in Matthew 11, that you come to him and find rest for your soul. There's a peace that passes understanding, as Paul puts it in Philippians 4:7. And there's that peace to which the church, each part of the church, was called in one body, Paul in Colossians 3. This happiness, this great settled spirit, as one knows that he has God to call on for his help, who walks with him through all of life, the one who has this sure hope that he holds on to, based upon the one who keeps truth. If you remember, the words are very, very almost interchangeable, if you like. Happy, blessed, perhaps that you recall when we sang the psalm, it used the word blessed. Some versions of Matthew chapter 5 will use blessed, some will use happy. We might think today that happy is a bit weak. Think on those famous blessed in Matthew 5 for a moment. Think on what Jesus says. If you are such and such, you are blessed because this. Now, if you think through those, so many of those things are the kinds of things that would normally lead a man to frustration or despair or turmoil of spirit. Why am I going through these things? They're not easy things for us to live with. But Jesus is saying, you're blessed. Even if you are poor, you're blessed. And so on. But that's because Jesus is saying that if you come trusting in the Lord, you will find that those very things which man would normally be seriously disturbed by, those things themselves do bring about this happiness. Because your life itself is based through trust in the Lord. It's based on him and that completion of the picture, that great hope. It's based on knowing that he will help you through those things. Blessed are the peacemakers, for example. In this world, that's not an easy thing to accomplish. But he says you'll be called sons of God. Those blessings come when the difficult situations are met. Being people whose trust is in the Lord. My plea to you then is that you will look for this happiness. I look around and I believe many of you are. But surely it's wise that we think on it again and see this objective, refresh our hearts with this objective. That you look beyond whoever or whatever in your life can swing so much, that affects so much of your thinking, your attitudes. Think of those that do take your trust, that you are actually depending on, and it could be yourself. And set that trust firmly and continually on the Lord alone. Be sure that you know him personally and that you continue to walk with him always. for you to look beyond the popular guy or girl at school. It's to look beyond the fine teacher. It's to look beyond the successful businessman or those up-and-coming politicians. It's to look beyond the famous sportsman. It's to look beyond the most gracious human being you know. It's to look beyond the leaders in the church, churches. And certainly to look beyond yourself. Every one of these people, and all of these cover, everyone has plans, some of them grand, but plans that will perish with the sure passing of your lives, our lives. Look beyond every one of them to see God. Don't expect to find happiness. Certainly not the happiness that God offers. Why should you look for anything else? Don't expect to find happiness except in Him. This one who is pleased to be the helper to those who will come to Him. I can't think of an adequate picture for this, but isn't that what Jesus Himself did? The one who had every right to be treated as God Himself, and He has taken this mind and He has brought Himself down and He has given Himself to help, to deliver the needy. Take a grand person in society. Think of the most famous person you can, and what happens if you're out there digging in the garden and somebody comes in rough old trousers and gives you a hand, and you suddenly discover the most powerful man on earth, that he's been willing to help. Well, all the more then, this is the way God has chosen to be. You can be happy because of that, because He is the one who is the foundation of a real hope, a hope of release from those very things that do torment you, that do weigh you down, a complete and final deliverance from them as well. Well, I just need to close to remind you that while the church ourselves here, it is the way that God has made things to be. And Paul has said that we have been called to peace as a body, one body. That is the way that we have been made. But each one of us, I think the psalmist saying, each one must make our own starting point, the Lord our God, and trust certainly in Him, not letting ourselves be taken away by any man. And I wonder, please understand me, I wonder if we can also take advantage. I will be absent for a little time. And I've said already that the spiritual life is where these things must begin. In our spiritual exercises, as we are apart, just a reminder that, well, I was reminded this morning, again, quite amicably, but a reminder this morning by someone that no man is indispensable. That's good to be reminded of that. And I think that's what the psalm is saying, that God is indispensable. Be sure that that's where your hope, that's where your help is to be found, that's where your hope is to be based. Maybe we can take this time that we are, shall we say, forced apart for a time, just a little, that we use this to reestablish ourselves in this trust in our God, that we will know the blessing of happiness by a real possession of what is best, not being satisfied with Well, we never even get to second best otherwise, do we? But the real possession, it can be yours. He can be yours. He's willing to be yours. And the joy that comes with him, this happiness of walking with the Lord, trusting only in him. May God speak with us today. May he bless his word in each of our hearts. Let us pray together. Lord, we confess that even faith is your gift, but having given it, enable us, direct us, that each one of us will cultivate what you have given and exercise it truly. That again we will have the insight to perceive the ways that though you have taken many of us, if not all, to yourself, the way that yet we can fall aside and rely upon ourselves or others, anyone but you. Perhaps a bit here, perhaps a bit there. We do pray, O Lord, that this great call will enter into our hearts, that we will be ready to acknowledge that we do fall short of your glory. We do fall short in our seeking after your own kingdom and all that belongs to it. That we do so often seek many other things first, instead of casting our trust upon you and laying hold of this immense provision, not just objects, not just other people who can help us, but you work through so many different ways, but you provide yourself. Oh Lord, may we have this burning desire each to walk closely with you, knowing the blessing, the joy, the happiness, the rest of soul of walking close with our God unto the blessed appearing once again of Christ Jesus, our Lord, your own beloved Son. Lord, we do pray that we might find that this is the prospering of your people, that we know that this path will be under many assaults. Not so all the more. We do plead for your help, that you will continue to look upon us in your grace and your mercy. Oh Lord, hear us. We are weak and feeble creatures. We would endeavor to worship you. We do pray that in all our weakness we will come with the right spirit, that we may be accepted before you, and that you will graciously set your hand upon us and not forsake us. We ask these things through him who is our great hope, who has given us hope, life itself, our Lord Jesus Christ. In him we pray. Amen. Let us close our worship today in turning to Psalm 121. It's on page 416. Psalm 121 on page 416. And we'll sing the whole psalm. I to the hills will lift mine eyes. From whence doth come mine aid? My safety cometh from the Lord, who heaven and earth hath made. Thy foot he'll not let slide, nor will he slumber that he keeps. Behold, he that keeps Israel, he slumbers not, nor sleeps. The whole psalm. We stand to sing and remain standing after that for the benediction.
I to the hills will lift mine eyes, from whence have come my days. My safety cometh from the Lord, who hath loved and lived. Thy foot is
his blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.